international clearance. We lied last week, said it would be back to regular sort of time and scheduling this week. This might be even later than last week, Scully.
Yeah, but I feel like it's better. Technically, chronologically, it's earlier.
Okay.
By 2 hours. And secondly, I feel like it's better because we're in the studio for once.
We are in a studio for once. We're finally getting our act together, but it just come a little bit late this week.
I feel like it. I actually do feel like, listen, I'm not going to tell you what the listeners, but I've been in the throes this week. Yesterday, I was like, oh, God. And today, I feel like, you know what? International clearance. What a show.
we're doing our bit, right? But on that though, we've used up a lot of time. We've got a couple of interviews lined up for the next episodes, which has been overdue, but we're looking forward to those. And we won't spoil those, but let's just say we finally ticked off the whole British Isles. Finally,
jeez,
took a while, but we've done it. We've done it in consecutive weeks. We've ticked off the remaining two, right? But we're gonna leave the British Isles. Although actually, you came to the capital this week. It's not a Bundesliga update just yet. But it is a Bayern update because they came to London, they came to the Emirates. Harry Kane scored a penalty for Bayern. It's 2-2 draw, which I'm sure they're absolutely delighted with.
Yeah, maybe this is why I was in the trenches this week.
Yeah. Eric Dier played the 90 as well. What do you think of Eric Dier's performance in that game?
He was not good. I do think, and I'm not trying to be biased, everyone can watch the game back. I think Arsenal were the better team, for most of it.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the control, a lot more passes, a lot more shots. They were just generally better. It was very good. Tuchel exploited a very good weakness in the first half. He knew that Kibior was not as good on the ball as Zinchenko, kind of left him free and would just exploit that relentlessly. Harry Kane, Saliba made one mistake, gave away a penalty. Harry Kane is a boogeyman. I was so certain this is finally going to be the year Harry Kane does not score against us. When they got that pen, I wanted to vomit. I was like, he's been nowhere.
And he even changed his penalty technique.
I know.
Which is fascinating. But so, look, we've said the league is over for Bayern and therefore for Harry Kane. The Champions League is their only outlet. It, regardless of how they might have played generally, it's still a good draw away at Arsenal. How realistic are Bayern's chances of now kicking on with us if they've got the home leg coming up?
They have the heritage. I'm never going to downplay that. And that was, funnily enough, that's what me and my friends were saying, other Arsenal fans. As good as we think we are in form, on paper, all this stuff. And I think if you're honest, if you're an unbiased fan, you have to be honest and say, this season, we have been better than Bayern Munich. They still have that heritage that just clicks in. It's quite similar if we look across to City, Real Madrid. City was scoring banger after banger. And Real Madrid was just going, yeah, but we're Real Madrid. Equalising. And there are just going to be those teams that can do that. Now, the job for both of the English teams is going to be, for City doing it at home, for Arsenal going away and making sure they outscore the other team. I think it is possible. I genuinely think it's possible. We'll see.
Yeah. Kane, by the way, the first player in Europe's top five leagues to have 50 goal involvements this season. I think his penalty in the Champions League made it 51 because he scored at Heidenheim in the Bundesliga last weekend. So this is all comps. He's on 39 goals and you can make the difference up in the assist there. I think he's on 10-12.
Heidenheim is a newly promoted German team who haven't won a game all season. He beat them at the Allianz, right?
Right.
I think. So based on that, I think we can take them at the Allianz, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's all they're playing for at this point. And
yeah.
While I think the Lewandowski record might not be happening at this point anymore, there's still half a dozen games to go in the Bundesliga for Harry Kane.
One more season, he's loading. This is the first one.
Yeah, he's not leaving after this summer, despite, mm-hmm. I think there might have been chat that if he'd have won it this year...
Yeah, he would have got in and out, jobby. Yeah.
I've done what I couldn't do at home. look, now can I go back?
Well, I think we knew he wasn't leaving this summer when they knew. I think a few weeks ago they knew that it wasn't happening, and the Dier news came out saying Dier's getting another year, guys.
Yeah.
No offense, Eric Dier, because he's not been Bayern's worst player by any stretch.
No.
He's actually been quite a reliable defender for them, but let's be real, he gets that job because of Kane.
Yeah.
And he probably gets the confirmed extra year because they know Kane is staying another year.
Yeah.
It's a bit of both. It's you are a Nepo baby right now, but also you are good at what you do. So,
Another team whose kind of season prospects are over, Ajax. We've mentioned them a lot. But what's interesting is them looking ahead to next season and the rebuild job. So they still have a caretaker manager at the moment.
Yes.
They spoke to Graham Potter about their head coach position.
Yes.
But he does not seem to be on it at all. I think took the talks and then said no thank you and is on the way. That's according to Sky and Sky Sports reporters.
This is not the shade room. This is not Lipsic Alley.
Yeah.
But I still have to talk about rumours.
Okay.
The rumours are Potter has been promised United or England. Whichever one comes up first.
By who?
Whichever one comes up first, if either Southgate leaves after the Euros or Ten Hag does not make it, the rumours are, yeah, and again, I do not know this fact, but this is what I've heard. If whoever leaves first, Potter is the first in line for that job. And I think the issue is with Ajax, is not that he wouldn't want to manage Ajax. I think actually he would probably have taken that job a year ago. The issue is all this news about their backroom staff and all the problems coming out about their backroom staff is like, he went and he had the conversation and he was like, oh, you guys have still not got your shit together.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. And that's what it was. So I think the appealing thing about United, as much as we get onto United and how awful they've been over the last 8-9 years, they are attempting to get their backroom in order. Yeah. And I think that is appealing to a manager like Potter, who needs to get some good grace. He's getting some good grace when you look at how Chelsea are doing now. Like, it's like
his stock has risen and risen and risen since he's left.
Yeah.
Because it's been like close to coming up sort of 18 months, a year, over a year now since he left. And nothing has improved there.
Yeah. They're not getting any better.
I think people are almost like writing that spell off and going, what about all those amazing things you did with Brighton, with Swansea, with Ostersunds?
Yeah.
And a team like Ajax is exactly who would go, even if they did factor in what happened at Chelsea still, would still be like, this is a guy that gets our kind of way we do things and the setup and the infrastructure. So he's brave and he's got resolve. And I guess his compensation package at Chelsea is so big, he can hold his tongue.
It was really big, by the way.
Yes. It was crazy. So
he never has to manage again that big.
So he can be patient and wait for the right opportunities to come up. And if it turns out that those United and England opportunities aren't there for him, I think Ajax will still be waiting there for him. Or certainly a team of that level, like a Dortmund or somewhere, you know?
His stocks are high enough that he will still get a good top year. What I find more interesting is that I think Ollie is going to get a decent enough job.
Right.
Only because Ten Hag is, obviously everyone's like, he was going to be coming and be so much better.
Yeah.
Obviously, famously managed Ajax before United. Ajax are down bad. United are down bad.
Yeah.
And Ollie's another one who's benefited from that. His stock has gone from, oh, maybe this guy is not that great too. Oh, actually, he made it work with all of this going on.
Yeah,
it's going to be an interesting time next season.
Crazy. Ajax, by the way, lost 6-0 in that visit at Feyenoord, which is their largest ever derby defeat. It's the fifth largest defeat in their history. And it now drops them from fifth to sixth in the table. What we can say from a selfish international clearance perspective is that it wasn't the fault of Jordan Henderson. He was not playing. And Chubat Puan was brought on at halftime and the game was kind of already gone by that point. So it's not our boy's fault.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm really
sorry to Jordan Henderson. You know, gets a lot of stick for
sorry to Hendo.
The new brand of Ajax, but it's not his fault they're getting beat 6-0.
Also, what do they want him to do? Like, do you want him to go there and be, is he the technical director player? Like, I don't understand. I think I'm interested in what happens to Chuba next season. I think I really want him to go to a championship, Prem, or other top European side. I would actually like him to have another season at Ajax, but I think just because he's homegrown, he'll always be behind Brian.
Yeah.
So
another story at Ajax, this is someone on the bench. So they had an injury crisis, to be fair to them. Jordan Henderson's part of that, which is why they lost the game as heavily as they did. I know they've been bad this season, but injuries have factored in this. Their sub-goalkeeper on the bench, Ajax, is someone to keep an eye on. Charlie Setford, his name is, 19 years old, born in the Netherlands to a Dutch father and an English mother. And he's played for both countries at youth level, but he has committed to England at youth level now. So got a lot of under 18 caps when he was eligible and he's now in under 20 squads. And interesting, because I still think that's someone we factor in and count in our zone of interest.
100%.
But born in the Netherlands and actually kind of as Dutch as he is English in this case. So committed to England, which is not normally the way round you see it.
Maybe we only talk about him if he plays outside the Eredivisie.
Quite possibly. Well, we'll keep an eye on that moving forward. But Eredivisie is what we will focus on very quickly, a little bit more. So last week, for example, we zoned in on the new season in Finland, and we will come back to that in a sec. But there are a few other Brits playing in Eredivisie. We only ever really go to Ajax, don't we? But yeah. I thought this is a good opportunity to highlight some of the other players out there. We'll go towards the bottom of the table. FC Volendam, who were bottom of the league last weekend, and they've climbed off after winning 3-2 against fellow strugglers RKC. Thanks to English players abroad, as always, for flagging this with us. The winner and an assist early in the game came from Darius Johnson, who's 24, born in Chelsea, but he's got 4 Grenada caps. So, ticking all the boxes here, Scully. Grenada caps, born in the UK, plays in the Eredivisie. He's in his 5th season at Volendam. So, he's been there since he's 19. They're in the second tier, and he won promotion with them a couple of years ago, and they stayed up last season.
We need to get a hold of him. Can I just say, by the way, when you said thanks to English players abroad then, I thought you were telling Volendam to say thanks to English players abroad.
They should.
Off the bottom, but thank you to Cam as well.
Thank you to Cam, who runs that club. Because, yeah, he briefed me just the extent on... He'd had trials with Chelsea, Spurs and QPR, but his kind of pedigree in this country is a lot more in non-league and so, like, played for Rising Ballers.
Wow. They, you know, they brought through so many people.
Right? Yeah, like, but to get to the Eredivisie at 19 is really impressive. I think there was a chance to get signed for Chelsea, but it was during their embargo when they had Lampard as manager the first time around.
That is
so he was unable to be signed, and it ended up just kind of this Eredivisie opportunity comes up, and he's been there 5 years. Fair play to him. He's still really young, but he's making a difference, and he might well help them beat the odds and stay up for a second season in a row.
It would be incredible. I've just had a look. They need to win their next game and Excelsior lose to go to 16th. And then, you know...
Yeah, there's only 18 teams.
Relegation playoffs.
Yeah.
They could make it out. They could feasibly make the Great Escape. It's just going to be really hard.
Yeah.
Beating RKC really helped them. Yeah. I've just looked, by the way, Vitesse are getting relegated.
Yeah, that Chelsea connection's over. I think that's part of it. I don't mean they send as many of their boys there anymore.
Okay.
And it's taken a real big knock. Because that we have missed this pod, we've missed the golden era of Vitesse players from Britain. And we are probably gonna have to interview someone at some point about their time there.
Mm.
But these days it's not what it was.
Wow.
Due to the new era at Chelsea. But there are two other Brits at Volendam. At left back, 26-year-old George Cox, who was on pro terms at Brighton but didn't make the breakthrough. He eventually found his way, I think, a loan spell and then made permanent at Fortuna Sittard before joining Volendam at the start of last season. So he's been, again, in the Netherlands for a number of years. And I think that's interesting, just going, right, it's not a massive drop. It's, not, again, really just around the corner, short flights. Playing a great standard of football with rabid fans, really enjoyable. And joining George Cox in the back four at Volendam is Josh Flint, 23 years old. Only made 2 appearances for Portsmouth in the EFL Trophy. So we're talking like not even any pedigree at Portsmouth, just someone, a young player tried out.
Yep.
But he found his way to Volendam, and he's been there since a teenager. I think he left Portsmouth to go to Volendam. And he's now in his 4th season. And he's playing in Eredivisie. So
it's a lovely touch. It's a lovely touch.
Not struggling to get in the Portsmouth side to go to the Eredivisie.
Like trading. And in those times, Portsmouth probably League 2. Going from League 2 to the Eredivisie. Like, you made a good switch, man. Big up you, Josh Flynn. I think, I really hope you're enjoying it. I hope Volendam stay up. Now they're my second team in Eredivisie. Now I feel like I'll watch them and make sure that they stay up this season. But let's see.
Yeah. And then elsewhere in Eredivisie, there's a mid-table clash. Heerenveen versus Utrecht. Utrecht, the away side, win 3-2. 3 other kind of contingent players here of interest.
Oh, wow.
So, Heerenveen's side, they've got a player on loan from Chelsea. Charlie Webster, 20 years old midfielder.
Yep.
I think in years past, he would have been on loan at Vitesse.
Yeah.
I think that relationship has gone. He's now at Heerenveen.
About Charlie Webster. That's so interesting.
Unused sub in that game, but I just still thought it was worth a mention. The visitors that win that game, they brought on 2 subs that One might be a much more familiar name to other people than the other, but both Mainu interesting. Mainu
before Mainu.
Yeah. Zidane Iqbal, 20 years old, born in Manchester, but full Iraq international. I think he's got 10, 11 caps.
Mm-hmm.
He came on for Man United in a Champions League about 2 years ago, I want to say, which was just a massive moment. It was like a South Asian player in the Champions League.
That's insane.
It's a sort of British-born South Asian contingent. It's something I've always been really interested in, and like trying to work out what the next steps are for players like that to get themselves out and put themselves in a pyramid. He took the step of leaving Man United in the summer, and he's gone to Utrecht and came on in that game and helped impact it.
It's a really interesting step for him, especially seeing Ten Hag being forced to play all these youth players. So Shea Lacy is now playing with the first team, who I think is actually an incredible youth player. Mainu is obviously bursary this season. Zidane Iqbal was highly rated, like really highly rated. Like Mainu was one of those players, if you know, you know type thing.
Yeah.
And like that's why he's so shocking to a lot of people, because a lot of people are not watching under 18s, under 16s United.
Yeah.
Zidane was the one they were like, this guy's coming through and he's going to be quality.
Yeah.
And when he was sold, I think it was a bit of a surprise. I'm glad to see that he's plying his trade, doing well. Charlie Webster as well. Charlie Webster was on the 2020 list of young talents to watch with The Guardian.
Right, okay.
That's why I know him. He was like a really super highly rated youngster. He's still on loan, so he's still at Chelsea.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see if he comes through. It's a bit of a weird one at Chelsea, and this is no disrespect, but when you spent 200 million on a midfield, like Webster, you're barely going to get any games. Yeah. And the worst thing is, they're not playing that good, so he should... Yeah. If it was any other team and they didn't spend that much money, he would get game time here.
Yeah.
But I think Chelsea in a bit of, we have to make this midfield work.
Yeah.
So
And more likely, they're going to sell their youngsters that do well elsewhere on loan and stuff to fund that, because of the way PSR and FFP comes
in.
But yeah, you wonder now, Manchester United, they sold quite abruptly, got rid of Hannibal, Zidane Iqbal, and I think one other that was kind of there or thereabouts in the team with senior appearances.
All the coolest names, by the way.
Yeah, oh, totally. And it's not to say that they are the level and they would have given Manchester United 100 appearances or whatever, but they have had to need players this season. They have really gone through it. So I wonder.
And I'll be so honest. I've watched games of both Chelsea and United. You're not telling me Charlie Webster cannot do 20 minutes there. You're not telling me that flipping Zidane Iqbal can't give you 30 minutes over Eriksen, who has been running up and down the pitch for 60 minutes and needs a rest. I think Eriksen didn't think he was going to have to play this much at United. Yeah. He probably thought, I'll do a first half. They're going to bring me on for whoever's coming through.
Yeah.
He probably sitting there thinking, this is nonsense. Like, we'll see for everyone on each side of those books.
Yeah. One other Utrecht sub in that game, Adrian Blake. Young winger, really young actually, 18, born in Islington, was on the books at Watford. Don't think played much there, if at all. But Utrecht signed him last summer. I mean, it's a big jump at 18. But if the offer is there for you, okay, look, your Championship side, you're not quite getting in, it's tough. Crazy turnover of managers and players there.
Oh.
Do you want to... Here's an Eredivisie side. Utrecht, who are... I might be wrong. They might have gone down in the last decade or so and come back up. I'm not sure. But that's a name. That to me is like an established Eredivisie side.
Yeah. It's like, a name that you recognise, and that's
absolutely
what you want.
Absolutely. So coming through there, I think the Eredivisie style traditionally lends itself to really good football. And it's a great pathway. It's a great place to be playing your football if you're 18 and being involved, which he was. He came on and they saw the game out 1-3-2 away. So... Yeah, Utrecht tapping into the British market.
As
a lot more clubs should be doing. Let's go to Finland then. Last week, we did a little profile and spotlight of the opening weekend of the Veikkausliiga, which is the Finnish top flight.
I respect that you...
I still haven't checked. I still haven't checked that's how it's said, by the way. So
Veikkausliiga, that's what I would say.
But yeah, the season kicked off last week. And just to quickly round up some of the players you mentioned... some of them played, some of them didn't. So, for example, the player at Maryham, Jaden, who had the two cruciate ligament injuries, he didn't feature. He wasn't in the squad, so I don't know yet whether he's not yet fit or what.
Okay,
but elsewhere, there were some. So, the holders of the league, HJK Helsinki. They lost their opening game. Brooklyn Lions Foster and Luke Plange both played in that. Both played the 90, but they lost 2-1. Luke Plange was then dropped for their midweek game this week, just gone. I think they played Thursday night. But he did come on at half-time and assisted a goal later on. They beat Lahti 4-0. So a little bit of a wake-up call in the opening day, but they're back in business. And Lions Foster played the 90 in that one as well. So he has immediately, for someone that had no senior experience, has just gone straight in and is just like a fit like a glove. And he's getting finally at 23, probably absolutely gagging for senior football, men's football. He's now getting that. And
considering his background and his academy upbringing, they're probably, HJK are probably thinking, this is perfect for us.
Yep.
You're just going to go and play as many games as possible. And like you're saying, he's probably been crying out for this.
Yep.
He's probably thinking, this is what I need and needed.
Yep.
And at 23, a year, 2 good years of playing this level and people knowing that you came from Tottenham Academy. And again, he was quite highly rated.
Yeah.
You never know where your career can take you, so.
Yeah. Elsewhere, FC Wolu, who had loads of British players, they played a few of them. They lost 2-1 at SJK, but Callum Ward played in goal, and then you had Ashley Coffey up front, Jake Dunwoody playing as well. They all featured in that game. Once more, two teams with interest played each other in the opening day. FC Haka, managed by Andy Smith from Northern Ireland, they lost at home to VPS. VPS was the side of Alfie Sikau, the Oxford graduate.
Half Italian?
Jumped back into. I'm not sure. I haven't got that answer. Jumped back into. Oh, so maybe it's Sikali. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
He played 70 minutes, so his fitness is not really a massive issue, clearly. Like, he's ready after so long out of the game. And he played in that victory. We're talking about making adventurous loans and stuff like that. This is the gamble, right? So FC Haka, Imali Lankadok, who is the 20-year-old from Fulham, I want to say, Fulham midfielder, had a play for Fulham and was obviously looking for a loan, hadn't had any senior men's experience yet. He's hooked at half-time. So that's not to say it's his fault. I didn't see the game, but it does show you, like, it's not, you're not going to have quick, immediate success for everybody.
Yeah.
When you're in a Premier League academy, that doesn't necessarily, you still don't know where your level is if you're not getting the experience outside of those kind of under 21 leagues, under 23s. So it's not just an obvious thing of, oh, drop me at a lower level and it clicks straight away. His thing is just getting started and he's got a lot of work to do. And that's the way.
Well, this is the thing. Sometimes you get a pro contract because they know you're too good to just be out there free.
Yeah.
But because of the timing and whatever else is going on,
yeah,
you might not get to play. Like, looking to Fulham as well, let's look at Fabio Carvalho, like, super highly rated, signed by Liverpool because he's so highly rated, does all this good stuff, gets to Liverpool, and Klopp's like, actually, this season is so terrible, you're barely going to feature, if at all, because I'm just trying to maintain some status in the table.
Yeah.
And now he's gone back to Fulham and he's looking all right. Like, but it does take time. And he hasn't been playing at his best level. So I'm sure Imani will get there, but it is just a question of, you're no longer just doing training exercises and playing with the coaches. You now have to get ready to ball.
Yeah. Welcome to professional football, Imani. That's the game. Welcome. Another welcome, more of a welcome back. We'll go to Italy. Serie A last weekend was the Rome derby. Roma beat Lazio in that derby 1-0. It's a big result. What was really interesting, a couple things. Chris Smalling comes on for the last 10 minutes.
Okay.
He has not played a massive amount recently. He's not been in favour this season at Roma. So him coming on, I guess, to close out that game kind of makes sense. In a derby, you need just extra defensive body on there. Don't take anything for granted.
He's a bit older. He's like 35 as well now, 36. Maybe.
I don't think he's that old, Chris Smalling, is he?
I feel like he's a lot older, and I feel like he has been faithful and he's been good for them. But
he's like 34. Do you know what I take? Yeah, you're right. He's 34.
Like the legs, he is. It's like end of defender's career potentially, and only for in Serie A obviously could play till 40, 50.
Yeah.
But I feel like with Smalling, he has been playing for so long.
Yeah.
In high paced Prem teams, specifically United.
Yeah.
That he's probably losing a step of pace in all of this. Sure.
Particularly if you're not playing every week as well.
Yeah.
But the bigger story there is in the last 10 minutes also, they come on at the same time. Tammy Abraham plays the last 10 minutes of that game, who's finally back, you know, had that horrible yeah. injury that's put him out for, well, we're talking a year. He comes back on in a Rome derby.
Love that.
Helps see it out. This is not involved with the goal or anything, but like, it was the first step back to, you know, a long road back. With some serious injuries, it's never you're straight back in.
Yeah.
Your muscles have adapted. Your recovery's so odd. You've seen that Tyrone Mings video, the muscle atrophy. Like, think
so
about
skinny.
Trying to improve one part of your body to match the rest of yours without it being like some sort of Frankenstein's monster. Such a precise thing. And what's really encouraging, so weirdly, there was an all-Italian game in the Europa League this week.
Fantastic game.
Milan nil, Roma 1. Loftus-Cheek plays for Milan. Smalling plays the 90 for Roma.
That's why he was getting his legs warm.
Yeah. So that's cool. And Abraham comes on for the last 10 minutes of that Europa League game as well. So they're not doing anything stupid. They are just letting him back in slowly and slowly. 10 minutes there, 20 minutes in a week is great progress for him. You might get half hour of him soon. And then maybe if they're feeling towards the end of the season, there might be a 90 minutes or an hour on the last day of the season or something like that. And
it'll
that
be
sets
fascinating.
Him up nicely.
No, it'll be fascinating to see how De Rossi, if De Rossi uses Tammy, because the way he's bringing him back slowly to me implies this is somebody I see a future with. Whereas a bit with Smalling, and this is no disrespect to Smalling, like I said, he's a little bit older. It kind of feels like he let him get his run out because I know I can trust you in a Europa League quarterfinal. You've been here before.
Yeah.
Like, you can get that done. But that suggests that you are the kind of defender that we wheel out when we need you, like for the big games here and there. Whereas with Tammy, it's a bit like, we don't need you now, but you're good enough and you're young enough that we need to integrate you slowly for the future.
Yeah. A year away, he only played one. He played one league game this season, which is, sorry, that was this season, obviously. He scored 27 goals in his first season at Roma. Then got 9 the following season and then again gets injured. I think those at Roma, especially someone like De Rossi that may well have even played with him. I can't remember when De Rossi retired. Roma will know his value and will want to try and that level of player it's difficult to get. So they will want to do what they can to keep him if they want to use him.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, there might be an issue where new management in, new plans, new projects, who is the easiest cash cow in that Roma side who've not actually been using? Tammy Abraham. You're still going to get 20, 30 million for Tammy Abraham from the Premier League, even having been out for a year. And he's only 26. So they might just be getting him fit to see him on his way.
Yeah.
But he still had a great impact there. It has been that move worked out perfectly as it really could have in that position. Because it just didn't, you know, Chelsea probably, I don't know if they regret getting rid of him or what, but that jump, there's no regrets about that Roma roof, surely.
Well, they've got two strikers who they sold to Italy. It's quite funny. The Europa League this week was a throwback to 2018-19 in the Premier League. So Giroud started for Milan. Tammy was there for Roma. You've got Salah playing. You've got all of these. Aubameyang starting for Marseille. But also, you had Lukaku playing. Lukaku was... Obviously, Chelsea have sold all these strikers and they've never replaced or got better.
Yeah.
So I think for Tammy, it's a perfect move. Do you think he stays out or do you think he comes back to the Premier League? Do you think he wants to come back to the Premier League? He never really made those. He's not like.
He's kept very quiet. He's not made any calls to come back. I don't. If they want him, I think he should stay there because I think they'll have another crack at the league next year if they do it properly. You've still got Dybala there. You've still got some really interesting players, and that's a big enough club that they'll throw the dice occasionally. They might, because of Lukaku being there, they may have to sell one. They're going to sell one.
This is the thing, and I think, well, Chelsea have to sell one Because don't forget, Lukaku's actually alone.
Yes, yeah. So right? Maybe it's a case of Tammy stays and Lukaku, you're on your way because we can't buy you out and then have those wages as well.
Exactly. It's going to be very expensive. And I think Tammy seemed to be really like friendly with Mourinho. And yep. That seemed to be his boy. And that's why he's gone there. Mourinho obviously has now gone. But De Rossi looks really good. Like, obviously, it's been half a season. We've seen this before, for example, with an Ollie. I don't think Ollie's last season was as bad as United fans have made out. He just didn't win the league or challenge for it, which is what they expected. But I say that to say that Tammy can be useful for them.
Look, there's not much time left in the Europa League. They've won the away leg. They've got a real chance at winning it now. Imagine Tammy Abraham having the option of bringing him on in a final.
If he scores, that's it. They're there.
It's a great win. It's a great way to come back to Roma or even just cap it off if that's his last appearance for them. And that's it. We have a quick episode this week. So we're gonna wrap because we've been in the studio. You can hear the from the quality difference, but we've recorded a bunch of interviews. So we're not going to waste too much studio time. What we will close on, yes, welcome back Tammy Abraham. But Serie A, some news. It was announced last week. We didn't have time to mention it. ITVX are showing live games free to air on ITVX every Saturday evening until the end of the season. So they've been doing that for a week or so now already. This Saturday is Bologna v Monza on ITVX. Mm. So perfect, because that's a chance to see a player we've spoken about a lot on this show, Lewis Ferguson.
Ferguson watch.
Bologna are top four under Thiago Motta, having the time of their lives. The team looks like it might get disbanded end of the season because they're doing a bit too well. Motta's in demand, but so is Lewis
Ferguson.
Very
high demand.
Juventus have been linked with him. Juve been linked with both, actually.
I think he is going to go and take Ferguson with him. Like, because you have an opportunity to be able to take some of your better players. Let's be honest, Juve are in a position of power over Bologna. Mm. I kind of hope Motta does a Xabi and says, actually, give me one more year and let's see what I can really do. Because they're about to hit Champions League. And I'll be real, the most exciting managers right now in Serie A are looking like De Rossi and Motta. So both of you stay another year at your respective clubs and see how far you can push it. Obviously, Inter have got everyone in a chokehold right now, but you could push it. You could challenge.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll be watching that. And so should you. ITVX Saturday evening. Bologna versus Monza, featuring our very own, Scotland's very own, Lewis Ferguson. And we'll leave it there. We'll be back earlier next week with a very special guest working out in Sweden. We'll throw a little passport hint. We haven't done that in a few weeks, so we haven't had a guest.
I know they've missed that.
Yeah, so send your guesses through. Where can they find us, Scully?
They can find us at intlclearance@gmail.com. Please send us some emails and ask what you think. If there's any footballers, managers, coaches, technical directors, whatever that you think that we should be speaking to, you can also find us at intlclearance on Twitter, and also look out for our Instagram and TikTok. We're going to be taking some steps to grow that, I hope. But don't get too used to the studio.
Watch this space. This has been International Clearance. We'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us. I've been Joe Walker.
Been Scully.
We'll see you later.